Well, we're turning now to Ukraine, with Volodymyr Zelensky saying he's due to talk to the US president later today. This follows Russia's rejection of a full ceasefire. Instead, Vladimir Putin agreed to a temporary cessation of attacks on Ukrainian energy facilities. However, this morning, each side accused the other of breaching that pledge. To take stock, we can talk to Dan Saba, who's defence and security editor with The Guardian. Can we go back to yesterday and to that phone call between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump? How much did President Trump achieve?
Well, on the face of it, not very much. And he came with a simple demand. You know, he wanted, you know, his Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, had agreed with the Ukrainians that Ukraine would sign up to a 30-day full ceasefire, land, sea and air, if Russia would do the same. So we have to presume he put that to Vladimir Putin. We don't know how forcefully, but, you know, let's say he gave it a square go, and then he really didn't get a lot back, some questions and half offers and some limited concessions. What he did get back was that Putin would agree not to bomb Ukraine's electricity utility infrastructure for a 30-day period, although that hasn't stopped other bombing by Russia overnight. A sort of gesture of goodwill, although this time of year, as the weather improves, that doesn't mean too much to Ukraine. But it was some sort of concession, as long as Ukraine would do the same. But otherwise, didn't really make a lot of progress.
Vladimir Putin also set out several demands. Was there anything there that Ukraine could actually agree to?
Well, the demands were pretty substantial. They were sort of they were everything, and there was absolutely nothing that Ukraine could agree to, because what the Kremlin said in its sort of readout statement afterwards was, it said that the key condition for resolving the conflict, which is really what the Kremlin's been saying all along, was the complete cessation of foreign military aid and the provision of intelligence information to Kyiv. You know, foreign military aid, that's basically every, you know, not just the US, but every single European country and every other country that's been helping Ukraine, you know, fend off the Russian invasion. You know, Ukraine's fighting a war of independence here, and without this Western military aid, it would have really struggled. And that's what, you know, still even today, Russia wants to cut that off and is saying that that's a sort of prerequisite for some sort of deal. And if that's the case, well, these talks aren't going to get very far, because that demand's unacceptable, and everyone can see it as such.
We know that further talks are due to take place in Saudi Arabia on Sunday. Is it known who will be there?
I'm not sure it is, but that's the positive from all this, that discussions continue. And now it depends a bit on, you know, what you think is going on here. There's definitely the case that the Russians want to draw the Americans in. Russia's been largely considered a prior nation in the West following the invasion 3 years ago, and now it's in a sort of direct dialogue with the US, the most powerful military nation in the world. So by drawing the Americans in, perhaps they might sound out what they might be able to get from the Trump administration, perhaps quite a lot, and maybe they'll feel that diplomacy is the best way of achieving, you know, their goals in Ukraine, as opposed to war. But it is still a chance for the Americans to try and sort of also sound out where the Russians are at. And so the fact that they've agreed to talk is the one thing I think we should be positive about.
Dan Saba of The Guardian, thank you very much for joining us with that assessment. We'll have more on that massive drug seizure in County Kilkenny after a quick break.